This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Is Hillary Clinton running for president? She drops a major hint on the woke Howard Stern show. The president fights back on impeachment, and the vampiric one says there'll be a major announcement at 9 a.m., right after the sun rises. 855-839-1210, the Cioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Cioli, and, of course, Facebook.com/Cioli Show. So glad to have you with us today, every day, of course. Well, will she or won't she run for president? That is the question. Former WPHT host and former Clinton advisor Dick Morris, he said yesterday she's just waiting for Biden to drop out of the race and then she'll jump in. Maybe. I guess Dick knows her better than I do, certainly. But I would think that if Hillary Clinton decides to run for president, Democrats are going to go, they're going to go crazy here. I mean, they know that she can't win. She's already lost. They want somebody new. They don't want her. They don't want her. But she kind of hinted at it a little bit. She did a number of different interviews. She's all over the circuit, by the way. She's all over the circuit. And I can't even figure out where she's going to go next and where you're going to find her. It's like some sort of a little game. Is it, where's she going to pop up today? So first of all, this was she was on with Woke Howard Stern. It's definitely a different show than it used to be. She denied lesbian rumors, first of all. Cut 10.
Was he heartbroken when you said, when you announced to him, listen, this guy with the beard?
I don't know. I think that we were sort of moving apart, and Bill just kind of was the reason at the end.
Would he ever say to you over the years, would you keep tabs on him if he was married, this guy, and all this other stuff?
I knew he was.
Oh, you knew?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did you
know? I liked
him.
I just liked him. He was a good guy.
Oh, he must have been so upset.
He was so handsome. He was really handsome.
Really?
Really handsome. Yeah, he looked like a Greek god. He was really handsome.
No kidding. Mm. Greek god.
Yeah, he was very attractive.
Well, I don't know. I'd listen to you.
Well, contrary to what you may hear, I actually like men.
Oh, right, yeah. That's the other thing.
Women friends.
Raise your right hand. Yeah. You've never had a lesbian affair.
Never even been tempted. Thank
Unbelievable.
You very much.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. If you have strong relationships with women, friendships.
I do.
And
I
then,
do.
You know, and guys can pal around all they want, and that doesn't cause suspicion.
Right.
But when women do it, all of a sudden there might be something to
everything
look at.
We do can cause suspicion, apparently.
Yeah.
Remember when Howard Stern used to have hot lesbians on his show?
Yeah, and he'd say, are those real? Can you show me?
Those were good old days when actual real hot lesbians were on his show. Now he gets Hillary Clinton on the show.
By the way, he had her on for 2 hours and 21 minutes.
2 hours and 21
wow.
minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, you serious subscribers, money well spent. Money well spent.
Such a bizarre interview, too.
But, I mean, when he used to have hot lesbians on back in the day, that was groundbreaking. Now he has an actual lesbian on. She denies she's a lesbian. And
I mean, that's not...
She denies it.
Come on.
A lot of them were just actresses back in the day. She also had a coughing spell in the middle of this 2 hour and 21 Hillary Clinton fest on Howard Stern.
Because I was thinking about this. I read in the paper you and your husband went to see Oklahoma the other night, the play. I can only imagine what the hell that must be like for you. When you decide to go see a Broadway show.
Right.
What a probing question. I mean, that is... First of all, I thought he's the best interviewer in the world. Isn't he called that in the media, the best interviewer in the world, Woke Howard Stern?
Yes.
That's his big question. What's it like to go to a Broadway show?
Yeah.
What's it like to go to a Broadway show? What's that like?
When you decide to go see a Broadway show.
Right.
Like, in other words, probably more people are watching you and Bill than probably more people are watching you and Bill.
You're hacking.
And I'm thinking about the Secret Service and everything else. You have to announce to someone, I'm going to go see Oklahoma the play.
Right.
And then they have a...
They have to stop.
They stop.
Yeah. Then they make a big deal out of it.
I know. I feel like I need to give you a cough
some
drop
hot
or something.
Water.
I got one.
You
Thanks.
Okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah. Even that, I remember, if you even coughed when you were on the campaign, they said you were dying. You were dying.
But what is that?
I know. I thought I'd come on
Yeah.
And cough some more.
Oh, that is bad. That is painful. Oh, my God.
So that was only a minute and a half clip. In the first 20 minutes, she does it constantly.
The coughing.
The coughing.
So they must have got her something, right, to stop with the coughing. Okay. They must have injected her with something to make it stop, right?
So it was after she denied being, you know, a lesbian. It sort of invokes the Larry David episode.
Oh, God, don't even go there, please.
That's all I said.
Don't even, please, please, please. I'm going to get the emails. Dawn.Stensland at Entercom.com. Don't send them to me. I didn't say it.
It's a Larry David episode. It's
a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. Right, yes. But that was, the coughing fit was before or after the lesbian confession?
So the lesbian confession came in the middle. This was the very beginning, the first probably 20 beginning. Minutes of it.
Now, would Hillary Clinton have gone on Howard Stern's show when he was actually Howard Stern?
No. And she kind of alluded to that in the interview, too. She said, wow, therapy has done wonders for you.
Can you find that clip?
It's 2 hours and 20 minutes, and they only release, like, pieces of it. But, yeah, I'll see if I can dig it
out. You got to find Hillary Clinton praising woke Howard Stern for his wokeness. My God. Congrats, SiriusXM. I hope it's worth it for you. I hope that the guy who's the biggest sellout in radio history now, your buddy, your friend, Howard Stern, unbelievable. You know what? He's supposed to be the guy that calls out the BS. She's the biggest liar on the planet. Did he ask her about Epstein?
No.
Did not ask her about Epstein. 2.5 hours, didn't ask her about Jeffrey Epstein.
So he didn't ask her about the affair, like nothing. Like the whole interview was pretty much her backstory and her love story with Bill Clinton.
Wow.
It's the rehabilitation tour. Wow. That's what it is, right?
Because it actually, if he'd asked her legit questions, Monica Lewinsky, the Me Too movement.
Anything?
Anything like that, that would have been interesting.
Nothing. No, nothing?
Nothing.
They didn't ask her about Monica?
No.
They didn't ask her about Juanita Broderick?
No. In fact, one of the questions was about Arkansas, about how it was a demeaning for her to be the first lady when Bill Clinton became governor of Arkansas. And she didn't even bring up all the alleged affairs and everything that happened when he was governor of Arkansas.
So I guess the reason why he's the greatest interviewer in the world is because you got to really close to the microphone, really low to the microphone, right? And then just go along. Yeah. So that's what was that like with breakfast? You go out for breakfast? What's that like? I mean, the cooks, they're probably like, she's in, the Secret Service. They have a taste of food. What's that like?
Do you get pumpkin pancakes?
First of all, they've been out of the White House now for how long? Right? Who cares if they go to a play? Right. If it's in New York City, why would anyone care at a Broadway show that they're there?
Well, I mean, he also, in the interview, he also pretty much said that he wants her to be, or he wanted her to be president.
Oh, he says it all the time.
She should be president. And, like, it was definitely not an unbiased interview.
You know
what I mean? Like, it was, like, his cards were all on the table. He sucked up to her a lot.
A lot?
Yes.
A lot of sucking up to her. That was obvious in just the clip you played.
Yeah.
That was obvious right then and there in that little clip that you played about the lesbian rumors. I mean, he didn't bring it up. She brought it up.
It's true.
She brought it up.
Yeah, no. Yeah. In old days, that would have been like the first question he would have asked.
That's
her.
My point, right? In the old days, the first thing he would have said was, tell me the truth. Are you a lesbian? Would you be a lesbian? Yeah. Would you like to be a lesbian? Have you ever been a lesbian? He would have brought that. She would have been like, no, Howard. But no, she has to bring it up on the Howard Stern show.
That's a good point.
Yep. Hillary Clinton has to bring up the lesbian rumors just to get them talking about lesbians.
Yeah, the reason they said he was a great interviewer, you didn't know what he was going to ask, right? He would ask anything. Anything.
Right.
And it was shocking, but it was always revealing.
I'm never going to therapy. I don't care how screwed up I am. I'm not going to therapy because I don't know what they do to you there. But you lose all your ability to be a good talk show host.
So I'm going to have my finger on the dumb button. They didn't really curse at all. So this is a little bit of the interview where she talks about her first date with Bill.
Oh, God. Are you friendly with Elizabeth Warren at all?
You're not.
They hate each other. See, right there, my BS detector, those two hate each other's guts.
Sure.
Oh, you like her? Okay. You like her? Okay, good. You like her?
Are you friendly with Elizabeth Warren at all?
You
like her?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That's where right there went, come on. Give me a break. Give me a freaking break. Does he say that to her?
No.
I think you two have something in common. Listen to this.
Okay.
I'm watching something with her on TV.
Right.
She's talking about how she met her husband. And she says, I went up to him. I saw this nice guy. I asked him out.
Same speechwriter.
After a few dates, she turned to him and said, "Will you marry me?" Now, the reason I say I relate this to you, you're at Yale at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there in the library, maybe.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you see that Bill Clinton, a guy you don't know,
right,
is staring at you.
He was staring at every woman in the library.
The mystery science. Wait a minute. I have an idea. We should replay a whole interview with you just commenting over like mystery science.
That'd be perfect.
Keep staring at me, and I'm going to keep staring back. We ought at least to know each other's names. I'm Hillary Rodham. Who are you? So that's how
wow.
I met him. That's how I met him.
Were you nervous doing that?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, my God.
No.
I would never have the guts to even walk up to a woman. So the fact that you could do that. But it is a vulnerable position. Because he could have said to you, "Oh, I'm not staring at you. Get lost."
Yeah, he could have.
Or you could have called security and said, "Why is this creep staring at me?" Which is what you should have done.
Been ashamed and embarrassed.
And then I would have known right then he wasn't worth the time.
And he's brilliant because he's at Yale
Law.
Brilliant.
Right. He's brilliant.
Right.
I love a romance.
So then, it turns out he'd never been there, but we were actually in the same class.
And you know what? That romance is really tested by time. I mean, that romance is as pure as Shakespeare. Oh, not since Romeo and Juliet have two star-crossed lovers been so taken by...
Isn't he going to class?
Because he was working on a political campaign to elect somebody to something in Connecticut. You know, politics was his first and foremost love.
You had to be with a go-getter. I mean, you were a hard worker. You
100%.
Needed...
Well, also, as somebody who I thought was really smart with a good heart. I mean, that's what I was looking for. Yeah.
And also had ambition.
Oh, had to have ambition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But by definition, if you've gotten to Yale Law School, you've got some kind of ambition to do something, right?
Anyway, so then guys there would have been... So if anyone just stared at you, you would have married him. As long as they went to Yale. That was her requirement. I need them to stare at me and then be at Yale and I'll marry them. And then she was president shopping is what she was doing.
Was.
She was president shopping, looking to see who's going to make her first lady. That's what she was doing. That's what he should have said to her. You thought this guy could become president someday. By the way, Elizabeth Warren's story and her story sound exactly alike because they were written by the exact same person. That love at first sight BS story that they both tell, written by the exact same DNC hack. Guarantee it.
George Stephanopoulos.
Probably Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist. Probably wrote it for them. Oh, yeah, you know, from across the room. It's almost like a sappy love song, right?
Well,
from across the room, I see you and I'm taken by you.
So Howard brings that up.
Of this class, he shows up in the class.
Looking for you.
Apparently.
Right.
Yeah. And
now, I think any woman would have done fine, Howard. I think any woman in the class would have been, she's not here. I'll take that one. It's like we went shopping. Oh, I'll do the blonde at third row.
Out, and he said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to register for classes for next year." And he goes, "Oh, I'll go too." So we walk, you know, those are the old days when, you know, you actually had to use pencil and paper to register for things.
Right. And Howard Stern was actually funny and authentic, the old days.
I stand in line. I get up to the registrar. Bill and I are talking, our first real conversation. And the registrar looks at me and goes, "Bill, what are you doing here? You registered this morning." And so I knew that this was all about...
And you hit on me.
You know me.
Right.
Then we went on about a five-hour date where we took a walk. We get to the Yale Art Museum.
Did you guys kill anybody on that walk? Did you kill the registration? That was their first murder. The woman who registered classes with.
That's the
first Clinton murder right there. We took a walk and we said, "Bill, we got to cover our tracks. She's on to you. We'll make her disappear."
That's how he got the engagement ring.
We'll make her disappear.
Oh, no.
That's how you really bond as a family. I mean, 60 kills later, you're so close together.
Like the Manson family.
Have a Mark Rothko exhibit. And I said, "Oh, I missed that. I wish I'd seen it," because the museum was closed because it was on strike.
Right.
So Bill said, "Why, you really like Rothko?" I said, "Yeah, I really like him. I've never seen his stuff in person, but I've seen, you know, photographs." He goes, "Well, stay here just a minute." So he goes off. This guy I've just met.
Mm.
He comes back. He introduces me to this gentleman. He goes, "This is, you know, John the janitor." And John the janitor said he'll let us in if we pick up all the trash on the lawn.
By the way, I saw this movie. It was called Rocky. And he gives her $10 for 10 minutes of ice skating. Yo! Time! So now we're supposed to believe Janitor John at Yale Law School to get into the Rodin Museum, or wherever the hell she's talking about, says to them, I'll let you in if you pick up trash on the lawn at Yale. There's a lot of trash on that lawn at Yale Law School. Tons of it. Tons of trash on the Ivy League campus of Yale.
Like garbage dump.
Yeah, pretty much. So Jonathan, janitor John now says to Bill, what now?
Oh my God! What an operator this guy is.
So we pick up the trash.
Yeah.
And then we get to go in and see the rock.
I just want to watch you bend over.
End up in the sculpture garden.
See, this is a guy who is a born people person.
Oh my
God!
And
you know what he says, which is so important. He says everybody has a story. And everybody deserves to have their story told.
No kiss at this point?
Well, we got there eventually.
Not at the museum?
Not at the museum.
I would have kissed him at the museum.
No, not at the museum.
Did he touch you at all? Did he touch you against your consent, like several other women have alleged?
In those days, we did play a little hard to get.
Smart.
You're not giving her the bums right now.
Oh, that is painful. Oh, my God. Wow. That is painful. Let me go to Roger in Jackson, New Jersey. Roger, good morning.
Yeah, good morning again. So first I want to say you're probably the best talk show host. You take tons of calls, almost no commercials. I'm from Jersey, and we have a radio station that I think all they do is sell ads. But my listening goes back to Bob Grant, so I know radio. Howard Stern must have gone to a liberal brainwasher because I cannot believe that is him. I mean, I listened to him early in my career. In my life, and when I turned 35, I said, "Okay, now I'm old enough now to move away from this, you know, potty stuff." But I cannot believe what I'm just hearing. It's crazy. I mean, that stuff's going to keep on going. So keep doing more Philly stuff. Please do some more New Jersey stuff. We've got lots to talk about. We got a great assembly and Senate in New Jersey that gives us tons and tons of things to talk about.
Well, I do. I talk about Phil Murphy when there's something to talk about. That governor over there, in New Jersey. But I got to go where the news is. But you're right, though. Therapy changed Howard Stern for the worse, no doubt about it. Right?
Yes, 100%.
I got to find out who that therapist was. Thank you, Roger. Appreciate it. Steve is in Oxford. Steve, good morning.
Rich, this interview is such a joke, man. She is the most cheated on woman in America.
Right.
I mean, my God, and the one interview I would pay to see or listen to is the old Howard interviewing the new Howard.
Yeah.
I mean, what a joke. I mean, he was great back in the day. Everybody listened to him. I mean, he has become what he used to mock.
Exactly. Exactly. He's become what he used to mock. Exactly right, Steve. You know, and I loved Bob Grant. I mean, I grew up, Bob Grant is one of the reasons that I got into radio. I mean, he's terrific. Bob Grant has inspired a lot of talk show hosts. And Howard used to say Bob Grant was the best talk show host ever on the radio. Used to say that all the time.
100%.
Bob Grant was always honest. That's the number one rule of radio. You got to be honest with people. You cannot have this fundamental transformation because then everything else you did before that was full of, you know why, it was full of crap. Oh, man, just sit there with them. Yeah, the most cheated woman, cheated on woman in the world, and act like they've been lovebirds since day one with just their normal marital challenges. Give me a freaking break. Did you kill Jeffrey Epstein? That would have been my first question. Do you realize Trevor Noah, to his credit, the host of The Daily Show, actually brought that up about killing Jeffrey Epstein?
Yes.
Did Stern bring it up in that entire two and a half hour Hillary stroke fest?
No.
No?
I have another minute clip. It's up to you if you want to play a little bit more.
All right, go ahead.
Boyfriends, yes or no in high school?
Boyfriends, yes.
Yes. Serious boyfriend?
No.
No one you ever said, I'm in love?
No.
You had not been in love yet?
No.
Bill was the first guy you loved.
Okay. No.
Let me stop this right now. Let me tell you what this is. You want to know what this is? I'll tell you. This is my political insight because I know this stuff. So somebody called him up and said, I need a favor. We're doing the rehabilitation tour of Hillary Clinton. We need her to, she's going to run. We want you to get the exclusive with her, but you just have to make her likable and lovable again for America. Can you do it? He went, oh, absolutely. I can do it. I can, no problem. Then he picked one of the 3 days he works, had her on the show, and that's what this is. This is the rehabilitation tour.
I would have rather heard Robin Quivers interview her because I think it would have been a more honest interview.
You're probably right. I would have rather had Baba Booey interview her. It would have been a better interview than this. The guys who do the post show would have been better.
Or Janitor John, who's related to...
Joe the janitor.
Joe the janitor and do the interview.
He's a cousin of Corn Pop.
I would love to hear his story.
You could pick anybody in the whack pack of the old days of the Stern Show, and they would have done a better interview. So they would have actually asked the questions on everybody's mind. Any truth to the kill list? You haven't killed anybody? Not one person. Come on. Not one? But all these people die around you. Isn't that something? You don't think it's a little bit coincidental that all these people die? That's a good question right there.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Where's the part where she commends him on his therapy? Do you have that?
No. I mean, these are they released, you know, short 2-3 minute clips. I mean, I don't remember where that was in there. I can look for it. Maybe I'll have it tomorrow's show. But, wow. It's a lot to go through.
Well, this is the rehabilitation tour, which means that Hillary Clinton is definitely going to try to run for president. She's definitely thinking about this. Yes. She would not do a 2.5 hour interview with Howard Stern if she wasn't thinking about doing
it. You're 100% right. 100% right.
That's the bottom line here, because he's woke Howard Stern. And remember, this is a guy who at one point was going to run for office himself, remember?
1994, governor of New York.
Such a phony. And he had Trump on his show how many times back in the day?
All the time, right? I mean, and to his credit, in his book, he does say that Donald Trump is one of the best guests he's ever had.
But
doesn't have him on anymore.
No, of course not. I mean, and if I were the president, I wouldn't go near his show now. No way. Because he would actually ask the president embarrassing questions. He won't do it to Hillary Clinton. But does his audience want this stuff? I mean, is that what Howard Stern's audience today wants?
I don't know. It's
they don't
a great
care.
Question.
You know what it is? We go on SiriusXM, don't care because there's no way to rate the show. They have no rating ability, so they don't care. All they care about is subscribers, right?
You're 100% right. If he was in a ratings war in Morning Drive like he was, 20 years ago, he would never do a 2 hour and 21 minute interview with
Puff
Hillary Clinton.
Interview with Hillary Clinton.
He would
Clinton.
Never do it. He would
Hillary
never
Clinton.
Do it. No.
I mean, there's so many questions I'd ask her. You blew it in the election. Honestly, what was the biggest mistake you made? Michigan, not going to Michigan? Was it that? Well, I don't know. I mean, the Russians. No. Your campaign. Why did your campaign not go to Michigan? Who made that decision? Was it you? Who made the decision? Was it Joe the janitor? Did you hire Joe the janitor to work on your campaign? He's become part of the media establishment.
Yes.
He is the media establishment now. Oh, it's so pathetic. Gio's in Reading. Gio, good morning.
Hey, how are you? Hey, look, I used to listen to Stern back in the day, and I didn't follow him when he went on to satellite. But I think I did meet his therapist once. I think it was Joe Smith Bull Castrating Service. I think he walked into that therapist's office, and they said, pull down your pants, and they cut off his testicles, and that's the new Howard Stern. It just sounds like that to me.
I think you're exactly right. It sounds to me like exactly who he booked, and I wonder if insurance paid for it. No, your SiriusXM subscription dues paid for it. Not yours, though. You were smart.
Yeah, well, not mine. I couldn't follow him to Sirius. It just it made no sense to get Sirius for one thing. It just made no sense to
me
at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah, he's definitely not the Howard Stern that we used to know and used to laugh at on the way to work in the morning. And, of course, that's what you're for now. That's what I laugh at on the way to work in the morning.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, sir.
Job.
Thank you, Gio. I appreciate it. But I'll never change because this is who I am. I can't change. I'm incapable of change for a reason. I'll never go to therapy. I'm never going to therapy now. I don't care how screwed up I am. I will never, ever be on a therapist's couch. Ever. Never. I'm not doing it because no way. Whatever indoctrination, mind control they do to you, my God. Unless Howard Stern was always full of it back in the day. That's always possible too, right? Maybe that was all an act. You never know which act it's going to be, right?
Yeah, is this him or was that him in the 90s?
I'll tell you something else too. The media in this city stinks so bad. I hate them. Okay, Philly Voice, Philly Inquirer, Daily News today, Daily News. This is Maria Panarides writing this. Ready? This is about Madeline Dean, Congresswoman Madeline Dean, Democrat. She's the Dean of Constituent Service. I came to interview the Congresswoman. I left with a nerd crush on the Congresswoman and her right-hand woman. That's the opening paragraph. So, I interview the President of the United States in the Oval Office, and the media in this city will not cover it. And I'm sure that some of the excuses they'll give is, well, it was too biased.
Right.
Too biased, right? Yeah, when Smirconish did it with Obama, that apparently wasn't biased, even though he endorsed him for president and asked him softball questions. But my softball questions aren't even worth covering, not even worth to take a shot at my softball questions. I would even like them just to do that. Just go after me for that. And then this is what you get when you interview a Democrat congresswoman. I came to interview the congresswoman. I left with a nerd crush on the congresswoman and her right-hand woman. This is the Daily News, Philadelphia Daily News. It's a member of Congress. You left with a crush, a nerd crush? But if the Daily News were to cover my interview with the president, well, that's, we can't. That's too, it's too gushing.
It's too biased.
Too gushing, too biased.
Let's hear more about Madeline Dean.
Yeah, let's hear about Madeline Dean and her wonderful constituent service, the Dean of Constituent Service. And then she ends it by saying this now. Where is it? Let's see now. Oh, this is the corrupt congresswoman, the other person. Well, then I ask the small ball of constituent services, why is this so important? And she told me a parable about a boy on a beach. This is literally how this article ends in the Daily News. This is the Congresswoman Madeline Dean ending this. Washed up on the beach are thousands of starfish. He's happily, joyfully throwing them in with an urgency of purpose. An older man walks by and looks and sees only futility and asks the boy, "What are you doing? They've all washed up on the beach. They're all going to dry up and die. Little boy, can't you see? You're not making a difference." The boy leans down, picks up another starfish and throws it into the water and says, "Made a difference for that one." That's how the piece ends. That's how the gushing puff piece in the Daily News ends about Madeline Dean.
Rich, sorry, we don't have time for your article.
Oval Office interview with the President of the United States of America on the United States-Canada-Mexico trade agreement and how it affects Pennsylvania.
Too biased. Not enough substance in there.
But then we get chicken soup for the congresswoman's soul and the ending with this this feel-good puff. Oh, my God.
I thought that was slam poetry at the end.
We should have had Pelosi do it, right? Her beatnik slam poetry.
That's good.
This is what I mean. This is what I'm telling you about my frustration with these people. It's why it's us against them. It's us against them for this very, very reason. That's what I'm telling you right now. It's us against them. And I can't tell you what it's like to have to battle them all the time. All I know is we're winning. We're winning, and that's part of the reason, too. The other reason why they won't want to cover this is the same reason why Howard Stern won't ever take a shot at me. He took a shot at Dom. He won't take a shot at me because I compete with him in this time slot. And the truth of the matter is, that coward, like the media in this city, they know how big this show is. They know how incredible this audience is, and they're terrified by it. You know why? So no one tunes into their dopey feel-good news shows anymore. They're dopey. We're doing it different. No, you're not. The same crappy newscast every other station does. We're doing it different. Our news is feel-good, make you feel good. If I want to feel good, I'm turning off a different station than the news, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. And then you have Chris Matthews, his analysis yesterday. So Chris Matthews, who's a lunatic from this area, his coverage of the Judiciary Committee impeachment hearings began with this on Hardball. He talked about how Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who's two-faced and blackface and brownface, French President Emmanuel Macron and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, all caught on tape, seemingly joking about President Trump. Now, instead of saying, wow, the president took 40, 50 minutes out of his time to speak to reporters. Nope. Instead of scolding those world leaders and being like, what's wrong with you idiots? The president of the United States took 45, 50 minutes out of his schedule to talk to the press, directly to the press. And you are giving him a hard time. How does Chris Matthews do it?
Well, to be publicly laughed at by three world leaders, Macron and Justin and Boris, all chuckling together like the boys club and you're not in the club. I mean, it was like one of those cartoons where the boys are up in the treehouse, you know, and they're not letting the girls up. I mean, they're not letting him up. They're laughing about him.
How old is that cartoon, by the way? And did you have it in your room? And did you and Newly Fenchley look at it every night?
What is happening?
This cartoon where they wouldn't let the girls. Is that your private little club?
I mean, it was like one of those cartoons where the boys are up in the treehouse, you know, and they're not letting the girls up. I mean, they're not letting him up. They're laughing about him. And also,
now, we're laughing at you and your analogy. That is such a dumb analogy.
So the gestures by Justin Trudeau of the face falling down and we're having the good audio to pick up their actual words they're speaking. They're laughing about what we used to call the leader of the free world. He's a joke now. I would be mad, too, but he sort of earned that role. I mean, let's face it. He doesn't want to be a member of NATO. He doesn't want to be an ally of anybody. The only friends he have are world monsters, like Putin and Sung Yon-moon.
Godzilla. He likes Godzilla and Mothra. Monsters. I was with a Kraken the other day. Yeah, Unleash the Kraken. Like, that guy, he loves that guy, too. Monsters. Roaming the quiet hillside. That's who he likes. Monsters.
Doesn't seem to like anybody that's a reasonable person. Angela Merkel just happened not to be in the group there. He's the odd man out now, and the president of the United States shouldn't be the odd man out. Who is it that is most known among world leaders for making fun of other people? Who's most known for mimicking people, their looks, their handicaps, laughing at them? Who is most known for that? And here he is, hoisted on his own petard by three world leaders in a tape that will be replayed and replayed and replayed, showing their attitude. Being laughed at by Boris Johnson. Think about that one. Think about laughing.
Yeah, he's a drunk like you, Boris Johnson.
Laughed at by Justin Trudeau, who just barely got reelected, who should be lucky to be at any meeting. And laughing at this guy.
It's unbelievable.
And by the way, they were in cahoots. They were loving it.
It's unbelievable. And...
You know what's amazing to me is that here are these world leaders mocking our president, and none of these people come to his defense. They're happy that world leaders are mocking him. They're thrilled by it. They love it. They hate him so much, and I think a lot of them hate the country so much, that they're actually cheering for these world leaders to mock our president. They love it. And you know what? If world leaders haven't caught on tape mocking Obama, and a conservative talk show host would have been caught laughing at that or praising the world leaders, you would have got a lecture. You would have got a lecture from the likes of Chris Matthews and other phonies in the media about what we should all as a nation be able to say, we rally around our president of either party. We don't allow people to make jokes at our president. He's our president. He's still like Animal House. There are pledges. Only we can do that to our pledges. You know as well as I do, you would have got the lecture from them. They're such phonies. Unbelievable. Amy Allison and MSNBC on Kamala Harris dropping out. Now we have to deal with the following.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
By the way, the impeachment nonsense from yesterday, one of the key points that I want to make for you that I think is very important to understand, people are not, I don't know, maybe they're missing this point. Since no evidence was presented yesterday, we have to realize the pure and utter hatred directed towards the president comes from a place that goes back, in many cases, for 30, 40 years. And the biggest offender, and I mean this both literally and figuratively, of course, is Gerald Nadler, the chairman of the committee. The chairman, Gerald Nadler. The former fat guy, Gerald Nadler, who's still a little bit porky, if you ask me. But Nadler, remember, he was called Fat Jerry by Trump, which is why I say hell hath no fury like a former fat guy scorned. He wants his revenge. So this is the chairman of the committee now who's opening the proceedings, and he's not there to find evidence. He's not there to gather facts. He's not there to have an impartial, non-political hearing. He is there with an agenda, much like those lefty professors. He's got an agenda. He's going to run it through. Cut three.
The storm in which we find ourselves today was set in motion by President Trump. I do not wish this moment on the country. It is pleasant task that we undertake today. But we have each taken an oath to protect the Constitution, and the facts before us are clear. President Trump did not merely seek to benefit from foreign interference in our elections. He directly and explicitly invited foreign interference in our elections. He used the powers of his office to try to make it happen. He sent his agents to make clear that this is what he wanted and demanded. He was willing to compromise our security and his office for personal political gain. It does not matter that President Trump got caught and ultimately released the funds that Ukraine so desperately needed. It matters that he enlisted a foreign government to intervene in our elections in the first place. It does not matter that President Trump felt that these investigations were unfair to him. It matters that he used his office not merely to defend himself, but to obstruct investigators at every turn.
All right, listen to this blowhard. Now, obviously, he's the chairman, right? I want to contrast that with you for a second. I want to contrast this and show you how unfair this really is. During Watergate, I mentioned this yesterday, Peter Rodino was a Jersey congressman, and it was a very, very class act. So he presided over the Nixon impeachment hearings. He didn't begin the hearings by laying out the case of why the president needs to be impeached. He laid out the case for why there needs to be this committee hearing, which would last for months. When he died, NPR did a report on him. And I think it's very, very important to hear a couple pieces of this. So take a listen.
The congressman who presided over the impeachment hearings for Richard Nixon has died. Democrat Peter Rodino, who served in the House for 40 years, was 95.
He was a little-known congressman and the new chairman of the Judiciary Committee when the House voted to allow the committee to review grounds for impeachment. He led the committee through months of preparation and hearings as the members tried to determine whether or not to go forward with impeaching President Nixon.
Rodino chose John Doerr to be special counsel for the committee. Doerr remembers Rodino's fairness in guiding the deliberations.
He was able to imposed discipline on the staff. He insisted that there be no leaks to the press. There were no leaks to the press. He insisted that it be bipartisan, it not be partisan. There was no partisanship on the staff. In fact, it was remarkably nonpartisan. And that is the result of good leadership. And although Congressman Rodino was a quiet man, he had the knack of leading, of managing. And he did it very well, in my opinion.
In July of 1974, as the House Judiciary Committee prepared to vote on the Articles of Impeachment, Chairman Rodino made his opening statement.
Now, let's stop it right there for a quick second. So you heard Nadler's opening statement. He just indicts the president right then and there. And this committee is not there to actually get to the truth of anything or figure this out or have. No. This committee is there to do one thing, and that is to vote to impeach the president. They have the votes. So the only reason why this committee is even doing this is for the spectacle of going after Donald Trump. Now, contrast that with Peter Rodino when he led the hearings against Nixon in the Watergate Committee hearings. And Rodino, who demanded that this be nonpartisan, and it was, and it was. And that's why it was bipartisan, which is why Nixon resigned.
Chairman Rodino made his opening statement.
We have deliberated. We have been patient. We have been fair. Now the American people, the House of Representatives, and the Constitution, and the whole history of our republic demand that we make up our minds.
That was after months of investigations, months of committee hearings, months of research. It wasn't on day one. It was at the end when they voted, the bipartisan vote, to pass 3 out of the 5 articles of impeachment. So after it happened, how did the chairman, how do you think Chairman Rodino reacted? Do you think he went and celebrated, high-fived? Oh, yeah, we just got Nixon. We got him.
After the committee voted and passed 3 of the 5 articles of impeachment, Peter Rodino said he went to a back room, called his wife, and cried. He talked about that moment in an interview with NPR's Susan Stamberg in 1989.
Notwithstanding the fact that I was Democrat, notwithstanding the fact that there were many who thought that Rodino wanted to bring down a president as a Democrat, he was our president.
Yes.
And this is our system that is being tested. And here was a man who had achieved the highest office that anyone could gift him with, Mm-hmm. And you're bringing down the presidency of the United States. And it was a sad, sad commentary on our whole history and, of course, on Richard Nixon.
Peter Rodino was chairman of the House Judiciary Committee that voted to impeach President Nixon. He died on Saturday at the age of 95. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
After he went and he cried and called his wife. Now, do you think Gerald Nadler is going to cry only if there's no donuts left after the committee hearing? That's about it. But you contrast that with Nadler's behavior. Absolute anger, partisanship, hating of Donald Trump. And you understand why this whole thing is a joke. They're not there to get to the bottom of anything. They've already decided this president's going to be impeached. Now all they're doing is just playing out the rest for America to watch. Dawn, good morning. How are we looking today?
Good morning. We're looking good. We have 37 degrees, but it still feels chilly with the wind chill. Eyewitness weather in just a moment. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Zioli Show News brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. A state House representative from West Philadelphia charged and accused of stealing more than $500,000 from a charity she founded that was supposed to serve the mentally ill and the poor who were fighting addiction. This is Democrat Movita Johnson Harrell, the first female Muslim member of the state House. She turned herself into police in Philadelphia. She has agreed to resign. In the wake of Tunagate, New Jersey could become the latest state to ban so-called lunch shaming under a package of new bills. So schools would be forced to change how unpaid lunch fees are handled, and students with overdue accounts, they would still be served even if their parents can afford to pay. So they would also bar schools from serving alternate meals like the tuna fish sandwiches that got Cherry Hill into trouble, or even cheese sandwiches to those students with the unpaid lunch fees. And it would prohibit districts from reporting any delinquent parents to collection or child protection agencies. And speaking of lunch, scientists say China's mutant pigs could save consumers from the pork apocalypse. So the genetically engineered hogs, and they are huge, they're fortified with genes that make them healthier, stronger, bigger, even survive severe weather. This is in the wake of outbreaks of African swine fever. Scientists say they're creating super pigs that are bigger and better tasting. And Chinese, that's a staple in their diet especially, but for a lot of the world. So they're very excited.
I would never eat a genetically modified Chinese super pig, just for the record.
Amnesty International blasting boxing, saying the $100 million heavyweight boxing fight between Andy Ruiz Jr. and Anthony Joshua that's this Saturday is Saudi Arabia's attempt at, quote, sports washing. So the human rights organization, again, Amnesty International, saying that hosting the high-profile rematch is actually an effort to reposition the very damaged Saudi brand through glamour, excitement, and prestige of a top-tier sport.
Well, they got to do something to restore their reputation after they started letting women drive.
That's what it is.
I mean, honestly, that's what they got to do.
Hey, this is an unbelievable story. If you can imagine finding an old lottery ticket in your car and then realizing that it was a winning lottery ticket in Arizona worth $14.6 million, but the person never showed up in time to claim the prize. So the pick winning ticket, it was sold last June at a Circle K, and the winner was given you only have 180 days to claim that multimillion dollar prize. So this week, the deadline passed, and the person cannot now, even if they find the ticket, they cannot claim their ticket worth $14.6 million. It actually it makes a record of the largest unclaimed jackpot in that state. A holiday hot seller going viral, Macy's Advent Calendar. It's huge. It's 24 windows, and each one includes a petite bottle of wine. It's a pretty good-sized bottle of wine, and they're from around the world. So that's a big one selling, which brings us to history on this date. 1933, the 21st Amendment was ratified, ending Prohibition. Eyewitness weather. It's going to be, you know, it's December. What can I say? It's December 5th. So it's going to be 45 today, partly sunny. And that pretty much looks like the trend. We're going to be up to high 40s tomorrow and Sunday. Those are the warmer days. Saturday looks a little chillier, 42, but no major precipitation. Hey, this is brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. When buying a luxurious new Volvo, you deserve a luxury experience with Cherry Hill Volvo, and it delivers every time. So stop by today. See their beautiful lineup of vehicles. Put a big red bow on one for you, as Yoli would say. They have the XC60, the XC90, Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships really do matter. I'm Dawn Stensland, Zioli Show News, always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. And of course, as everybody begins to react from the boring impeachment hearings yesterday, and they were boring as they put America to sleep, the key takeaway from all of it is that, as Jonathan Turley said, the actual bias here, the real bias being shown, is by Congress. And Jonathan Turley, who did not vote for Donald Trump, he's not a Trump supporter, and he pointed that out. He said to Congress, the real threat here is not his abuse of power, it's yours.
I can't emphasize this enough, and I'll say it just one more time. If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You are doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. We have a third branch that deals with conflicts of the other two branches. And what comes out of there and what you do with it is the very definition of legitimacy.
See that? That's your abuse of power. Well said. Of course, though, the question is, did anyone actually watch this yesterday? Did anyone actually watch this and then change their minds? The vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, is going to have a press conference at 9 a.m. today. We'll find out what her big announcement is. My guess is they're going forward with impeachment. Politically speaking, they'd be smart to not to. But I think at this point, it's too late. They can't walk this back. They can't walk this back. And America, for the most part, well, they went home, they turned on the TV, and they listened to the evening news networks with David Muir. Breaking news today on Capitol Hill. An amazing day. A triumphant day. The Constitution. Under analysis, under attack by pressers, and then impeachment, and then David Muir, and then Norah O'Donnell with the breaking news bombshell. Cut 14.
We begin tonight with the historic next step in the impeachment inquiry, historic, and a very combative one that played out today on Capitol Hill. The heated proceedings in front of the House Judiciary Committee, the witnesses, constitutional law scholars who were asked, was President Trump's conduct on Ukraine impeachable? Three witnesses telling the committee, yes. Arguing the president abused his power for his own personal political gain.
Three constitutional scholars told lawmakers today they believe there is enough evidence to impeach the president for abusing his power and risking national security for his own benefit.
And as he was in the air back on Capitol Hill, a trio of legal scholars were telling Democrats exactly what they wanted to hear, that the president has indeed committed impeachable offenses. And that's where we start with NBC's Peter Alexander.
Let's start there.
Tonight, House Democrats leaning on history to make their case for impeaching President Trump.
Most people yesterday, the big takeaway was Barron Trump. I'm going to get to that in just a second.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
So these people were so boring, these professors. America said, oh, I want to tune in to three history professors lecture us on the founders and impeachment. And they fell asleep collectively as a nation. But luckily, one of the professors decided to invoke the name of Barron Trump, who's a kid. And by doing so, it actually caused something interesting to occur yesterday, and everybody reacted accordingly. And so this is what she said during the hearing. This is the wacko lefty nutjob professor.
What comparisons, Professor Carlin, can we make between kings that the framers were afraid of and the president's conduct today?
So kings could do no wrong because the king's word was law. And contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
Oh, smack! Boom! She dropped it, mic drop, and then walked off. I'm out. Well, that got a lot of people upset. Dawn was very upset by that.
I was very upset.
How dare you invoke the name of a child?
That's right.
I was very upset by that.
Baron is the same age as my David. They're in seventh grade.
Oh, here we go.
And so a lot of moms, I think, really, you know, went in there and said, whoa, 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 not okay.
Right, not okay.
And Melania cracks me up because, you know, her husband, you know, let's say, is being bashed by the media pretty much 24-7.
Yeah, she doesn't say a word.
She doesn't say a word, but don't mess with Mama Melania and talk about her kid.
Yeah, you bring the kid up.
That's right, that's it.
Those are fighting words.
Yeah.
Now, the nation as a whole took a sigh of relief when that happened and said, oh, thank God, something we can talk about.
Exactly.
Because they were not sitting around at the bar going, no. Now listen, Madison said it this way.
You don't think that was happening down at Max Tavern? Yeah.
Max Tavern at 4:30 yesterday. Yeah, yeah. Now listen, Madison had it all wrong. You see, bribery had to be on a ship back then. No.
Oh, I would pay to hear Rich Zioli do a skit like that.
Oh,
as they're breaking down the impeachment hearings. Yeah, but like what that Turley guy said, you know, in English common law, here's the thing: you forget impeachment under English common law. I forget it all the time. I was just telling my kid about that. If this was English common law, you'd be impeached right now. No, but everybody went, oh, good, I can talk about this.
Yes.
Should she have mentioned Barron's name?
Right.
So the nation went, thank God. Thank God. Something we can talk about.
Yes.
I want to hear more about the dock workers.
Hey, Johnny, it's your turn to roll. But before you roll, think about this. The definition of high crime changed from 1712 to 1789. And before the Magna Charta thing, there was not even that.
It's Magna Charta.
Right. Right. But that's a spare, by the way. That's a spare. Put down spare. But everybody was able to talk about the Barron Trump thing. And should she have said it? Was it an attack? Was it not an attack? Was it okay? Not okay? Everybody was talking about that by the end of the day, right?
Yes.
100% of people.
100%.
Literally 100% of the nation. We were united on one thing, discussing the Barron Trump reference during the impeachment hearing.
Yes.
Nobody else got a damn thing out of anything yesterday.
So funny. You're so right.
I mean, I'm the geek at home, like, oh, good, English common law. I love this part. Yes, now get into Madison's thoughts in Federalist 41. I love this part. And people are like, Federalist who? When's he coming? He's not bowing with us, is he?
So when Jonathan Turley talks about bribery, you don't think that resonated?
And I'd like to start with the issue of bribery.
I love this part.
This
Johnny, give me a beer. This is
made,
great.
Not just by these
it's friggin' great.
Chairman Schiff and others that
it'll be a bribery
a case
bomb.
Of bribery.
Boom.
It's not.
Damn right it's not.
Chairman
damn
Schiff.
Right. It's like an Eagles game.
Yes.
All these people in the bar. Damn right. You tell them, Turley. Settle down. Get me more crab fries. Bring more crab fries. I'm starving.
Said that it might not fit today's definition of bribery, but it would fit the definition back in the 18th century.
Damn right. I got it right here. The 18th century, you got to remember this. Hey, Yingling, Yo, this won't refill itself.
Now, putting aside Mr. Schiff's turn towards originalism, I think that it might come as a relief to him and his supporters that his career will be a short one.
Oh, you not- get him. Take that, Shifty Schiff. Yeah. Turley just knocked you out.
That there is not an originalist future in that argument. The bribery theory being put forward is as flawed in the 18th century.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
That's what we needed.
That's what yesterday was like.
And they were praising each other for what edition they had of the Samuel Johnson dictionary. It just cracked me up.
Yeah, listen, I got the leather-bound edition in my house, all right? I got the real deal. And I brought it with me tonight to Chiggy's and Pete's to be able to open it up. So let's take a look.
You found it at a garage sale, you did?
It was in my attic. And my ex-wife wanted to throw it out. I said, no, you're not throwing it out. You're just like Shifty Schiff. But when the Barron Trump comment came in, now everybody in America had an opinion on that. Yes. I mean, it was just amazing. And you saw Melania's tweet. Do you have it there? Do you have it in front of you?
Yes. So Melania, I love this because she says, you know, you should be ashamed of yourself for naming a minor child. And also then Kellyanne's husband, the lesser Conway, had to, you know, speak out about it, too. We won't even. But for invoking the name of a boy, you shouldn't do that. So, where is it? A minor child deserves privacy, should be kept out of politics. Pamela Carlin, you're mean. No, she said, Pamela Carlin, you should be ashamed of your very angry and obviously biased public pandering and using a child to do it.
Yeah, you see? And now, so somebody said, this is stupid. It's not an attack. And I said, look, politics 101. You don't bring up kids in these things. No. If you do, it's dumb. And it would be political malpractice, and this is what I said, it'd be political malpractice by the Republicans if they did not make this a nuclear issue. And because it was so freaking boring, right? And they did. But I would have said to them, if you don't jump on this right now and make this the worst, like the way Republicans were reacting, you would have thought she kidnapped Barron Trump. But that's the only way to play it, because it's so boring otherwise. You had to do it. And that's what they did. They jumped all over it. I mean, is this where somebody yelled at her, right? Was it Matt Gaetz?
Now, let me also suggest that when you invoke the president's son's name here, when you try to make a little joke out of referencing Barron Trump, that does not lend credibility to your argument. It makes you look mean. It makes you look like you're attacking someone's family, the minor child of the president of the United States. So let's see if we can get into the facts.
See, that's the only way to play that. Right. I would have went a step further. I would have said, why do you hate kids? You hate kids. Why do you hate kids?
Are you a mother?
Yeah. Our children are watching and they're hoping they don't get called out by you on national television in front of tens of people who are still watching this boring hearing.
Definitely tens of people.
Well, she got so hammered, she did end up apologizing.
Oh, do we have her apology, Greg?
I didn't know she apologized.
So she did, because social media lit up. And so she did say, I want to apologize for what I said earlier about the president's son.
Oh, really?
So she did finally apologize.
So Bill's telling me it's at the end of one of the clips we just Yeah. So let me just...
It's the only thing the nation could talk about yesterday.
It's true.
Because the other stuff was so in the weeds and history stuff, and oh my God, you know?
But if you think about it, what she represented was that, oh, this is just about hating, you know, it's the divisive, it's the divide. This is all about, oh, we hate Trump, we hate his family. And so that's what she actually gave a gift in a way to the president and to Republicans.
She did, and to the country, because we had something we could all relate to and talk about,
exactly.
Right? Otherwise, it was going to be like, yeah, but you're not taking feudalism into account. You got to take feudalism into account if you're going to talk about 1780s common law.
All right, I have her apologize.
I want to apologize for what I said earlier about the president's son. It was wrong of me to do that. I wish the president would apologize, obviously, for the things that he's done that's wrong. But I do regret having said that.
No one cares. Get back to King George and what he said with regard to torts.
Oh, they are big torts fans.
They love the torts, man. I'm telling you. They love that.
G-O-R-T-S.
Hey, Shifty Shift, take that. You suck. You suck.
Oh, God.
Oh, he got you on the king. Got you.
We need a new. This is a new character.
Totally.
Somebody who just comments on constitutional law.
Yeah. Let's play a little of something, and I'll comment to the guys at the bar. Here, it's Is there someone who goes on about history? Well, she does, right? Doesn't the cuts that Bill has?
Oh yeah, yeah. In one of the,
I think she goes on about his history.
Asked for private benefits in return for an official act, or somebody gave them to you to influence an official act. That was bribery. Imagine that you were pulled over for speeding by a police officer, and the officer comes up to the window and says, "You were speeding, but you know, if you give me $20."
Oh no, I know where it is. You know what? Go back to where she says, "I'm insulted by."
That one.
Yeah, that one. Do that one. Cut five.
All right, yeah.
That's a good one.
Demanded foreign facts, but everything I read on those occasions tells me that when President Trump invited, indeed demanded foreign involvement in our upcoming election, he struck at the very heart of what makes this a republic to which we pledge allegiance.
You strike at the heart. You have no heart. Hey, shut up. I'm listening.
That demand, as Professor Feldman just explained, constituted an abuse of power.
Feldman sucks. Sorry. Well, we can do more of this. I gotta. So I can't. Oh, man. All right. 855-839-1210. Did you watch yesterday? And give me your thoughts on her referencing Barron Trump, because it's the only thing the nation could actually really talk about yesterday.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.